This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, he'll make sure that as soon as both segments of this interview are done, that they'll be up on the WKOK podcast page. In the studio with us now, Mike Molisevich, resident of Lewisburg, business person, Molisevich Environmental. He's been a pretty active spokesperson for a number of causes around here and opportunities. Now he's a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress in the 15th District, ran as a write-in candidate in the spring, and got the sufficient number of votes, and now he is a bona fide candidate in the fall, and his name will appear on the ballot in the 15th District. If you're familiar with it, it is a sprawling district. It heads all the way out to, Venango and Warren County, all over the state, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about that district and the maps and a tiny bit about the incumbent, G.T. Thompson, but mostly about what he brings to the table as a Democratic candidate for Congress. So welcome aboard, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, and thank you, Mark.
I really do appreciate it. I think this is really something that you're doing this. It's an uphill battle when you get Democrats that are running in some of these Republican districts, but fortunately, you've stepped up a number of times for this and are doing that. Why do that? It is an uphill battle, but you say we had a fight for what we believe in and step
that's,
up.
Yes, exactly, Mark, and that's just part of it. But if I wasn't doing this, there would be no choice, and choice is good in both a democratic and a free market society. So though you may disagree with what I say or my policies, if I wasn't doing this, you most likely would not have a choice in the 15th district, because—and that's why I wanted to talk about the maps and the redistricting process— because I think the redistricting process that we went through, and it was confusing, there were multiple maps, it made it difficult for some candidates and for some regions to decide who was going to run, because it wasn't until the last map was finally settled that we knew where we were going to be for the next 10 years. So that's very important to remember, that these maps that we have, the new congressional maps and the new Pennsylvania Senate and representative maps, are with us for 10 years. For example, Snyder and Union counties were in different proposed districts until the final map was settled. We could have been in the new 10th, we could have been in the new 13th, so various versions had us in different districts. And that added to the confusion, and for the listeners, it's okay, because it was a confusing process. Because what happens is, as we all know, every 10 years we go through a census, and the census registers new population for this country and the states and our regions for various reasons. But one of the reasons is it helps determine new legislative and congressional districts, because populations change. And what happened to Pennsylvania, we currently, right now, we have 18 U.S. congressional districts, which means we have 18 congressional representatives, 9 Republicans and 9 Democrats, 2 U.S. senators. So every state has 2 U.S. senators. There's no map for that, because the U.S. senators all run statewide. So there's no
German. Sure.
Right.
Okay.
So it wasn't that Pennsylvania lost population. It was because our population didn't grow as fast or as much as other states. Therefore, starting next year, we will only have 17 congressional districts. We lose one. And what made the news was our congressperson, Fred Keller, you could put it in a couple different ways, but kind of lost the chair, or lost the seat. Got carved out. Think of it. There's a lot of analogies. One is musical chairs. There's 18 chairs. Everybody's
like
walking around, and then all of a sudden you remove one.
That's a literal illustration. That's literally
so
what happened.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, he could have run in the district that he's in, which will soon be the 15th, or he could have run in another district, too, so if he so chose, but he's going to stand down under these circumstances. But I know for a fact you're going to hear from him again, so his name pop up around here in the future. Okay, so those are the maps. That's kind of where we got. What is the 15th district going to be after what, January 1st or January 20th?
Well, first of all, just emphasize, currently we are still in the 12th district. Now, when I say we, I know your broadcast area goes beyond, but let's say Northumberland County and Union and Snyder County, Lycoming County, I know you reach up there, Montour County, those listeners, they're still in the current 9th, and they will remain in the new 9th. So when I talk about this, I often say, well, I'm running for the new 15th district, and people refer to the new 9th. So even though this election's coming this fall, it's really the new maps go into effect in 2023 when the new Congress takes effect. So that's important to realize.
And what date is that? Is that the 5th or the 20th? I always think of that as something like
well,
that.
Well, it's not a presidential year. That's why we refer to it as midterm. So I don't know when the new Congress.
Exactly.
I would have to go back and double check.
All right.
On
so
that.
You're here today to emphasize this: the districts are changing, and folks are changing. Their Congress member is going to change for many
could.
People.
It could, and it may stay the same. So I guess the bottom line is: yes, it was confusing. We just need to pay attention a little bit more, and I think this little discussion is important for people to realize. Some people will be in the same district, some people will be in a different district. But the bottom line is, let's say Union, all of Snyder County will be in the new 15th. All of Northumberland County, all of Montour County will be in the new 9th.
And Congressman Muser is running for re-election over there, so you're probably going to see him. Although there is, he too has somebody's running there, hoping to be a difference maker there. Okay, so you're in the 15th district now. That's going to be starting here soon, and so you're stepping up to make sure that people have a choice. What will the choice be, G.T. Thompson, good conservative Republican in Washington, D.C., President Trump supporter, and definitely a stop the steel advocate, that kind of person? What kind of differences do you bring to the table as a Democrat?
Well, there's one difference right there. You just laid it out. Disappointingly, the majority, if not all, maybe except one, of the Republican delegation voted against certifying the Pennsylvania election. And also, they voted for the Texas lawsuit against Pennsylvania and several other states with regard to the results of our election without any justification, without any reasons, without any evidence, without any facts. It was just, as you indicated, the big lie. So that's the first thing. The theme of my candidacy is integrity of elections and elected officials. The first thing that a new congressperson or a senator or anybody, even law enforcement and military officials and police officers, you take an oath of office when you begin your term or your line of duty. And that oath refers to defending and protecting the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Key word. We need to step up and protect our Constitution and our institutions. And I think what happened recently, January 6th, will be one of those days that goes down in infamy, like Pearl Harbor, 9/11. It was a sad day. It was a dangerous day. And that's why the January 6th hearings are so important, to document exactly what happened. And I'm going to run, and I think a lot of my colleagues are going to run a candidacy on the issues. Let's get back to basics. Let's talk about the issues. Let's debate the issues. I recently ran into a chamber official. I said, I would love to have a candidates forum where we can discuss economic issues, business issues. I've been in business, as you indicated in the introduction, 35 years, helping businesses, industries, and I want to get back to the basics, and let's stop a lot of this crazy stuff.
We have crazy stuff. Good. That's a good segue, because my next question really relates to the fact that our government's bitter divided. You know, every opportunity for Republicans and Democrats in Washington is a gotcha moment. You know, it's a setup and a slam, and then a hopefully a point scored versus the other side. You know, that we the people is about the last thing folks are interested in. The goal is to make sure that the Dems look bad or the GOP looks bad.
Right, and that's where I'm going to stay the course. You've known me long enough. I've been on this radio station many times. I've written many articles. Go back and look at my track record. Go back and look at my work record. I have not been part of the crazy stuff, and I'm going to stay focused on doing good work, and I think that will win out in the long run.
Are you a supporter of this Convention of States initiative that's moving across the U.S., or they really want to look at the U.S. Congress and make sure that term limits get imposed, government size is limited, and so on?
I'm going to have to pass on that one. I have not been following that, but this is how I would answer that question or any other question with the so many issues that are facing us.
Mm-hmm.
I would weigh the facts, research the information, and look at what is best for my constituents, what is best for the public good, the common interest, the public interest, and not be swayed by special interest or corporate interest or the money interests. That is also going to be a distinction between my opponent and myself. I have not and I will not take money from political action committees. Look at the record and look at the facts, and the way you do that is FEC, which stands for the Federal Election Commission. When you make a contribution to any political candidate, you have to register the information and the amount and the source. So look at where the money comes from.
Okay, so you're trying to stay, integrity, you said it, so that's what
right. That
is, and it's not a gotcha moment trying to nail the Republicans on that topic. All right, well, to be continued. We're halfway through our interview now with Mike Molisevich, Lewisburg business person, candidate for U.S. Congress in the 15th District. We'll be back talking about more issues and opportunities of the border wall and immigration and term limits and some other topics when we return.
From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you again so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, Rob Center on the other side of the glass. This is WKOK Sunrise. We have a candidate for elected office in our studios today. Mike Molisevich is here, candidate in the 15th District in the U.S. Congress. He's a Democrat, wrote a write-in, or waged a write-in campaign in the spring. He got a sufficient number of write-in names. Tell me about this write-in campaign.
Well, okay. In the primary, my name was not on the ballot. Actually, there was another Democrat who was from the western part of the district who was seeking to get on the primary ballot and was acquiring the necessary amount of signatures, which was 1,000. Not an easy task, but you can do it. But he was not successful. Therefore, he missed the deadline. Therefore, if I did not step up, the classic name, no candidate filed, well, actually, it was on the ballot. And hence, I met with several people who were discussing the who could likely run. And I was part of that discussion, both as taking part in the discussion as and also one of the people that could have been considered. And the deadline for the mail-in votes was approaching quickly. And I had to make a decision, and I said, I'd rather be on the field than sitting on the sideline on this round of our midterm election. So I said, I will run. And that was about the time when the Roe v. Wade decision leaked out of the Supreme Court. We had more mass shootings. The January 6th hearings were taking place, and there were a lot of issues that I think needed to be addressed and so forth. I did that. So it was a real interesting process. So a write-in is basically your party literally writes in your name for that particular seat. You need the same amount of write-ins, so therefore, if you needed 1,000 signatures, you needed 1,000 write-ins. And we focused on the counties that had good organization in order to get their voters out, in order to get the message out. Somewhat difficult last name, but not insurmountable. And just recently, I received the official certification from the Pennsylvania Department of State, which took a long time. And I don't know if you were following this issue, and I even did not know why it was taking so long. But it turned out the reason we heard was there were three counties, if I recall correctly, Lancaster, Berks, and Fayette, who were withholding submitting their primary results, which was holding up all of the certifications. So, but they finally bypassed that. I got the certification about a week ago. And also, there was another Democrat who ran a write-in campaign in the 13th Congressional District, a gentleman by the name of Mark Kritz, C-R-I-T-Z. And so he was also successful. And there were quite a few candidates, and good for them, on both parties, they stepped up where there were vacancies. And that could have also been the reason of the confusion of the mapping, that it took so long.
And you think this having a name on the ballot is just pivotally, crucially, fantastically important in a political race?
Well, at this point, when there is no name on the ballot, you can do a write-in, and the odds are good. Think of it this way. When there's no opponent to run against as a write-in, you were really running against a number. Unless there's another person doing a write-in. So, yeah, so that's the goal in the primary. Now, in the general election, if you have an opponent, it's not insurmountable, but you can do a write-in, but it's extremely more difficult. So in a primary, it's easier because the goal is just to get the required number in order to get on the ballot in the fall.
But you say people have to have a choice. This is your mantra. You've been doing this for years. You ran against Congressman Marino and other folks because you had to have people have to have a choice.
Correct. Right. That's the democratic process. And I would like to see more choices even in the primary. Now, in some races, we saw in the Republican Senate primary, there were quite a few candidates, and even on the Republican governor race, there were some. So yes, choice is good, regardless of where you sit on the.
Let's look at some particular issues. Gun control. Are there changes in our gun laws that would make us safer? To steal Senator Toomey's phrase.
In reference to Senator Toomey?
Yeah, no. He says he coined the phrase with Senator Manchin. Common sense changes in gun laws that would make us safer.
Oh, definitely some common sense. Raising the age for certain types of weapons. Let's look at again the military style assault weapons. Should it be legal for an 18-year-old to walk into a shop and purchase one of those? Look at the results. The background checks have to be increased and strengthened. The red flag laws with regard to some people just should not have dangerous weapons, just like some people can't drive at a certain point for whatever reason. Yes, that has to be looked at. And again, what would be the legislation that would be proposed in a year when I'm elected? I don't know, but again, I would take my my education, background, knowledge in order to assess and weigh the individual legislation and look at the common good, the common interest, and not be swayed by special interests or money in order to vote.
Strengthening our U.S.-Mexico border and immigration.
Same way. It's not an issue where everyone, a citizen, I just came off, again, to use the analogy, I came off the bench, coach, I want to go in. So I know some of the plays, I don't know all of the plays. So what would be the legislation that would be put on the table? Does it need to be addressed? Sure, it needs to be addressed. But here's an interesting connection that no one makes with regard to immigration and migration of people. It's also related to climate change. Weather conditions, climate conditions are going to change where living in certain areas become unbearable. And that is another part of addressing climate change. So whether it's going to be water, no access to water, not being able to grow food, just unbearable heat, floods that might devastate an area. So this is part of the climate change. There's other reasons now to address this. So should it be addressed? Definitely.
You want to strengthen the border, seal up the border, build a wall, these kind of things?
Let's look at practical solutions that work. And also working with the countries from where these migrants and these citizens are coming from. That's the whole concept of foreign aid and economic development. If we can work with them and have a good economic partners and viable ways for people to make a living, there might not be a need to leave. And also with relation to drug issues. A lot of them come from countries that might have drug-related problems, issues, and basically a dangerous way of life. So let's look at that. And now it's related to our drug policy. And let's get back to the basic. Am I in favor of decriminalizing marijuana? Yes, it's over. Do. What a waste of time, money, and resources.
Pro-life candidate? Pro-choice candidate?
Choice. I'm not a doctor, and even if I was a doctor, it's not my position to control what a woman can do and make her own decisions. Let's keep big government out of these decisions.
Term limits for members of Congress and Senate and everybody else?
Not so quick, because if we had fair, equitable elections, and if we were to keep the money out of big money, corporate money, big PAC money out of these elections and level the playing field, we might not need term limits. So if the opportunity for citizens to come up, and maybe we look at government funding at a base level, everyone gets the same amount in order to run.
And can only spend X amount.
And can only spend X amount. Now we've leveled the playing field.
How are you campaigning? Are you going out to Fayette and Venango and all these other counties?
As much as I can. And what I promised myself and what I promised my friends and voters and the people who I was working with is I will do the best I can with what I have and what I got to do so. So this week is a fair week. Actually, it's going on all over the country probably, and especially Pennsylvania. I was already at the Lycoming County Fair, the Union County Fair. I'll be going back out there actually today and then coming back on Tuesday. Potter County has their fair. Clearfield County has their fair this week. Tioga next week. So you do the best you can. You work with the contacts that you have and you get out.
We got a minute left. We'll let you do a closing statement.
What I hope to there's other reasons to be able to run and be able to talk about these issues, and hopefully the civics lesson that we had this morning is good for everyone. And what I'm also asking is for people to consider doing something where they have an opportunity to step up and do something for their community. Ask not what you can do. Remember that one?
I do. I was barely alive, but I was awake.
Yeah. We all should give back somehow, some way to your community, our community. So do something, whether it's elected official, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, church groups, soccer, working in the park. Step up.
Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Mike Milosevich, candidate in the 15th U.S. Congressional District. He's a Democrat. You'll find his name on the ballot in the 15th District, which encompasses Snyder and Union counties and many counties to the west. You can get more information about him at friendsofpa15.org.